Jeannie Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series, empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle. Today is January 12, 2018, and I'm joined by the good-looking Craig Ruffalo, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle.
Hey, happy Craig. Friday, Mike. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
It's cold and flu season. How are you holding out?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah?
I think.
All right.
I don't know. The audience will have to say whether or not that's true or not.
All right. I hope everybody out there is taking a lot of vitamin C.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, you know, what a great national title game on Monday night.
Oh, my God. You know, if you're just a fan of football, that was a great game.
I feel bad for the city of Atlanta.
Oh, my God.
You know?
You know, all those Georgia fans, you know, home crowd advantage and everything else. And
Falcons lose last year. They were up by a lot, but that leads me into NFL weekend.
NFL weekend.
I don't think I'm going to have many to-dos this weekend. I'm going to watch football.
I think it's a great idea. Kick back with a couple of your favorite beverages and watch some football.
Yeah, I'm going to go Atlanta over the Eagles.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm going to say Foles is just going to fold.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to go. Fun. I'll go with the Pats over my boy in Tennessee at Mariota because it's Tom Brady.
Come on, boy. I'm not a Saban fan in football for college. I'm not a Belichick fan. But
oh, come on, he's going to be gone next year. Anyway,
You cannot root against the Pats and Tom Brady.
He's a local boy, you know.
Yes.
Right. Got to go with the New England Patriots. And on Sunday, I'm going to go for the upset. I want Jacksonville to beat old Roethlisberger.
The old steel curtain doesn't come forth and beat your Jacksonville Jaguars. The problem is, where's Jacksonville going to get any offense, man? I mean, Blake Bortles, that was a pretty pathetic performance at home.
It was.
And your final prediction, is the Vikings going to take it at home? Or
I'm going to go, because Brett Favre's not there anymore, I'm going to go with the Saints.
Drew Brees
coming through.
I'll tell you, that's probably the sleeper pick, because I think most people think home's field advantage, Vikings defense is really good, but
let's
agree with you. I
Will
think
you
Drew Brees is going to take it. I think they're going to actually go to the Super Bowl. I'm going to pick the Saints are going to play in the Super Bowl for the NFC. And the Steelers are going to beat the Patriots. I got to pick somebody other than the Patriots. Everybody picks the Patriots.
That's true. Well, speaking of predictions, the WASDE came out this morning.
Oh, my God, the WASDE.
And I think let's get a recap from you. But overall message is kind of what we expected. You know, on the sugar side, lowering the beet production is kind of what we expected, and raising the cane. So, what were the big takeaways from both the sugar corn side of the WASDE today?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, typically this is the last look at the prior crop, so we should get the final numbers in for the prior crop and have no further adjustments. And it looked like they adjusted carry out a little bit up on sugar over the previous WASDEs. Basically put us at a point where they're suggesting that deliveries were okay. I still speculate as to whether the deliveries in the 16-17 crop were absolute. I think 2% up year over year is a little aggressive.
Okay.
Particularly SMD report was suggesting through November deliveries were actually down 0.1%. So we'll have to see if there's any more fiscal adjustment on deliveries in future WASDEs. As far as the current crop, I think the interesting note was 50,000 ton increase in exports. And, you know, they didn't adjust anything as far as the demand and deliveries for food use, but they adjusted exports up. They doubled them, in fact, from 50 to 100. As far as production, I think most people were worried about Louisiana.
Yep.
Right? We got a lot of wintry weather and people were harvesting cane and snow. That doesn't happen very often.
No.
Often in Louisiana, but jumping 130,000 tons, roughly, on production is an indication that they had an unbelievably large crop, and the winter weather hasn't impacted it. So I would say those were the takeaways. Imports wasn't really adjusted much. Overall, you're still looking at a very healthy stocks to use ratio, 14.4%. Okay. Mike, you know, what's our target again?
13.5.
Okay, so are we higher or lower then?
We're higher.
Okay, oh my God. What would that tell you if they're higher than their objective?
Should be bearish to pricing, but what's going on in pricing?
Exactly.
Craig?
It's not impacting the refined price, is it? The last numbers we're hearing out of the offerings from Beat is what, in the mid-30s?
Mid-30s, if not higher in some cases, depending on the cooperative. You know, they're forward sold for 18. Not much happened
What are we projecting as the cover for 18 right now?
Gosh, I haven't looked our latest. I would say good 80-plus percent. Okay. Would you say that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm on board with that. I think it's probably dependent upon the different groups, but I'd say in general we're probably about 80% sold.
Yeah,
Cane guys too. I think they're getting up there.
Yep, I think that moving into January, anybody that hasn't taken a position, they're looking at obviously higher numbers than that they were looking at 6 to 9 months ago, and you know some are just biting the bullet because. I have to. Yeah. But the other thing is two other things on sugar. One is, you know, we've had the reports out of Mexico with their imports in the United States being behind last year at this time. Are you concerned about that? I mean, there's talk about them not being able to hit the lower polarity under the new guidelines of the Spencer Agreement. Hey, should people be worried about this, or is this something that they'll figure out?
Well, come on now. We all have said that this is the number one question of the year for 2018 as it comes into sugar. And if I had the answer, we would already have stated it. I don't know the answer, Mike. I think at the end of the day, we're still in a waiting pattern. Their crop was 20% behind, and thus they didn't have all the production ready to go for January. We're in the middle of this month. My suspicion is as we get to around the colloquium, middle of February and post-colloquium, you'll have had a good 4 or 5 months of data to understand whether or not Mexico is intending to produce the 6+ million tons. Yep. And if they do, then will they have the ability to export the quantity and quality? I would guess the sugar chamber is pushing hard, as is the government. We've heard they're pushing hard on the mills to successfully export to prove to the Department of Agriculture that they won't have a shortfall. Jury's out. If I had to put a percentage prediction on their ability to fulfill the quota, I'd say it's in the upper 90% that they'll fill it.
Good. Okay. Well, that's obviously good news.
Yeah, I think if you're a cane refiner, that's the one that you're on pins and needles about, because it's an obvious big component of your requirements for feedstock, if you will,
great.
From the import side. What else is going on?
Well, that was the other thing that I was going to bring up is that, you know, when you look at the market, a lot of people are scratching their head if they have needs for 18, not much happening in 19. And with the colloquium coming up February 11th through the 14th that you are speaking at or on a panel.
That's right.
Everybody come down and see
Craig
if you have the chance to. It's going to be a very active colloquium.
I agree.
I think there'll be a lot of discussions a little bit before the colloquium, at the colloquium, obviously after it. So look forward to your presentation on that Monday at 11 a.m.
That's right, 11 a.m. Monday.
I'm looking forward to it.
You can get up late and still make it.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, well, that's all I had, Craig. Do you have anything else you want to cover?
Corn, I think it was kind of a non-event as far as today's WASD numbers. A little bit of an improvement on yield with a little offset to a reduced acreage base. However, at the end of the day, I think the balance sheet was pretty flat. The one other commodity that we don't talk on all that often, but it's a kind of an interesting one that's been going on the last 2 months, has been frozen concentrated orange juice.
Yes.
The FCOJ, and for all of us 80s kids, we remember Trading Places and remember Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy. Not to get all sentimental, but the current pricing for FCOJ seems to be in that high 130s.
Yep.
$1.36 to $1.38 pound solid. It's a pretty attractive number. And if you go on past March and into May futures and even into July futures, the spread's pretty narrow.
Okay.
If I was to give a recommendation for those that maybe haven't considered or is considering at this time to be covered for the first half of the year, I would say take advantage of it. And also make sure you go and get your flu shots.
Flu shots.
And cold and flu medicine.
Yeah.
It's flu season. Yeah. And so be sure, everyone, to be out there and get your vitamin C, as I said.
Drink your orange juice.
Or grapefruit juice,
too. Yeah, well, let's go ahead and wrap this up.
Yeah.
Our thoughts and prayers go to the people down in Montecito, California.
What you a terrible time. You get fires, and now you've got mudslides.
Our thoughts and prayers to those folks dealing with that. As we always say, live with an attitude of gratitude. Be thankful for what you got. And until next week, have a great weekend, guys. Happy Martin Luther King.
Yeah, absolutely. Take care.
That concludes this podcast episode. For more information, visit us on the web at bikini-favel.com. Also, follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter for the latest industry news, updates, and intelligence.